welcome to a very weary Bagel Tech Big. Oh, I've had enough. I've been up since five this morning. Huzzah. And aye. Alex is pulling the place to pieces.
No, I'm having an asthma attack and I don't think you want to hear it.
I'd say let's start again, but it ain't going to get any better. So there we go. We're here to discuss the week in technology and the way it's been. There's not been an awful lot of tech news up until someone started smashing windows on tech shops and stealing the TVs, really. Joining me, I've got the usual fantastic panel of Mr. James Hart, top left. Hello, mate.
Good evening, Ewan. Good evening, Ustream. Good evening, podcasters.
How has Luton fared in the violence, dude?
There hasn't been any. It's amazing how technology's grown, actually, because not only has Bedfordshire Police got a Twitter account, they've also got an automatic SMS sender that every hour tells you that nothing's happening, even at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it? Can you switch it off?
Really good to know, isn't it? I just have to turn my phone off or turn it to silent.
Right, so Bedfordshire Police has escaped.
Yeah, we've been all right. Well, they most of them are probably down in Croydon.
Jolly good. Having a good old smash. We've had a bit of problems here in Birmingham. I followed the route of the violence before it actually occurred, so I'm probably under suspicion for hostile recon with the local West Midlands Police, but there we go.
Watch out for the feds.
Yes, they'll be round. Next to him, we've got Alex Fox. Hello, mate. How's things?
They're very good, Ewan, and it's been quiet here for at least a day now.
Yeah, you were warding off. No one coming near your house, was there?
There was lots of sirens. There was lots of people running around, going places to barricade up their own businesses. But no, it was very, very close at one point. But obviously, we're either too posh or too poor, one or the other.
Did you have a baseball bat under the bed?
I can't say what I had under the bed, but it was in my hand, actually.
Right. You slept with a baseball bat. Jolly good.
No, I actually sat downstairs, but yeah.
Excellent. Next to him, Sarah. Hello, mate.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. You must be feeling pretty good this week.
Why?
Well, the compliments about the new website.
Oh, well, yeah.
That you've worked extremely hard on, Mrs. Well done.
Yeah.
We have a new website. It looks super gorgeous and fantastic. And Sarah Jane wrote all the code that makes it a piece of cake for a numpty like me to load it up first thing in the morning. So we get nice big banners and lots of pictures and glossy logos. I did the glossy logos. I'll take some credit for that. But Sarah did the rest. And a guy called Russ Clewitt designed it, who is fantastically talented at russclewitt.com. So make sure you can go and give him a visit and chuck any business you can his way. It's all running rather smooth, Sarah, apart from some people can't see us, but we've had a little run around with that and not got anywhere, have we? Why is no one seeing us?
Yeah, I think it might be a DNS issue, and obviously we've also moved to new servers this week.
We broke UK2.
Maybe some teething issues, but we'll get them sorted.
We've had a bit of a surge the last couple of weeks, and we broke UK2. They've jumped in and given us a brand new bigger server, and they're looking after us. Thank you ever so much, UK2. But we'll get there eventually, eh?
Yes.
And last but by no means least, Mr. Eric Lanigan from Trouble Free California.
Hey guys, good to be here. Well, you know, I've been rioting in spirit. I've been I felt left out, so I smashed a couple of my own windows and destroyed my own car. You know, kind of spray painted it and set it on fire, tipped it over. Really caused some serious damage to my block. There's that.
Good on you, mate. The question is, did the spray painting and the smashing of the windows improve your car?
Actually, it did quite a bit.
Yeah, let's see. When you drive an old heap like I do and you do, that's probably fair. The week in technology, there's been a fair old bit kicking around. Samsung have had a bit of trouble in Germany this week. There's been a German court has given an injunction, an initial preliminary injunction against them selling the Galaxy Tab 10-inch.
Well, it's not just Germany, it's all over Europe, apparently.
No. No, I've had a bit of a...
I saw the Telegraph. It's
a gateway to a European ban, but it's not actually. Mm-hmm. Apple need to press it and ask... they need to actually ask for it to become a European ban, from what I understand. At the moment, it's not. It's just Germany. It's
well,
definitely
you still
Germany.
Can.
Yes, if you can get a Galaxy 10-inch, then go for it, eh?
So they're the richest company in the world, but that's still not enough.
Well, they've got to defend their patents and all that kind of stuff, haven't they? They've also had a brand new phone's been promised, the Galaxy R, which looked super glossy and gorgeous and not very iPhone-like today as well, which was always going to help. And we've had a pile of riots here in the UK, if you hadn't noticed. Lots of things got burnt, lots of people got smashed things up, and lots of TVs got stolen. So there you go, that's the technology end of it. But I thought we could talk about the Twitter end of that kind of stuff and the social media aspect, because they're saying that cell phones were used for coordinating. BlackBerry Messenger, the BBS service, was used to coordinate it all. And Twitter played a big part as well as, and Facebook. Not particularly intelligent, I would have thought, because isn't all of that stuff traceable?
Yes.
I would dare to disagree with
it. And police are tracing it from what I've heard.
Exactly.
I would dare to disagree.
They're actively tracing it and looking in and obtaining records from phone companies and from BlackBerry, and they're going after those people.
Good on them.
Some people were stupid enough, I heard, to post photos of the loot they stole, like on Flickr, and they're going after those people too.
Go on, James.
I was going to say that that BlackBerry is one of the biggest focal points of it at the moment, because not only were, because of so many of the youths that were running the streets, how you have communicated then organized themselves through BBM rather than Twitter and Facebook, because of course both of those are far too public. And of course, as I understand it, and do correct me if I'm wrong, even RIM can't get the encryption for the messages that have been on there. So if the police want people to turn their messages over, RIM may well just say, sorry, can't do it.
So half true, James. I was just reading about this. They can totally get it. BlackBerry totally has the ability to look at their consumer facing BBM system. But what they can't do is get into the BlackBerry enterprise messaging. So for businesses and business correspondents, they have no access to that. But for BBM, they do, and they've actually given spy capabilities to a number of typically Middle Eastern governments for their citizens, for BBM in particular.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big issue, wasn't there, about Saudi Arabia requesting that BlackBerry Messenger was going to be a big issue, and that the BlackBerry system, they wanted access to it, otherwise they were going to pull the plug and tell them that they just couldn't sell in their country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've done it. There you go, you're all open to it. Big Brother is definitely watching.
And which means if the police get hold of the BlackBerry Messenger messages, a lot of people could be in a lot of trouble.
And he's a fat Canadian. Anyone else? Is there anything else with the Twittery angle or the social media angle? Because I never saw anything on this, to be honest. It's...
Well, what do you guys think about this? Because I don't really know. My gut reaction to this, and the story of any riots, even the positive ones, that people say are have been organized and based on Twitter and social media, I don't really have all the facts and haven't yet articulated exactly why I think this or can back it up. But I have a feeling, just my core feeling, is that none of this stuff is really because of social media or because of any new technology that couldn't have been accomplished 10 or 20 years ago, or by disseminating information on bulletin boards, or by telephone, or by talking to people. What do you guys think? What do you think is the impact of Twitter and the social networks with this? I'll tell you one thing I did read is that with this riot in particular, a lot of it was started on, not on public social media like Twitter, but rather on people's existing established social circles, such that could have been activated by phone calls or friends talking to friends or SMS messages or things that really, again, could have been done 20 years ago.
I think, I was going to say, I think that the things like Twitter and the smartphones have definitely made it more mainstream, which has made it a lot easier. And that may well explain why it took off at the rate it did, and certainly enabled the rioters to actually remain agile and one step ahead of the police. But one of the things that slightly irritated me with all the, hearing all these calls about people saying, oh, well, why don't we block BlackBerry Messenger and Twitter and things like that when this sort of thing kicks off again. There's an interesting aspect. Alex and I were staying in touch on Tuesday night because we were sort of on the edges of where things were kicking off. And it actually made me realize that, in a way, it's not just about the people that are causing this that are actually using it. There's the rest of us that are actually using it to stay away from this. So there's two aspects to it, and that seems to be being forgotten about.
One of the other aspects, well, yes, one. It's all very well that we're trying to keep away from it, but unfortunately, there was a huge amount of misinformation being spread around with rumours and things. Living in Luton, enormous. As I do, if somebody says the word looting and it gets misheard, they could say there's rioting in Luton, not rioting in looting. And that happened.
I've been to Luton. You should riot. No, I mean, there's sort of a compromise between the two things, which I think is quite important. Now, first of all, for what Eric said, I don't particularly want to disagree so early with Eric, but I...
No, please.
Completely disagree with Eric. I think this thing took off purely because of it's enabled on a mobile device. And basically that means that every scrote going can have access to it. Whereas in the old days, if it was a bulletin board, etc., you had to be somewhat more technologically savvy. And you had to be sitting in your front room tied to a piece of cable, tied to the telephone socket.
A squealing phone.
Exactly. But when you've got it mobile, what that means is everyone, I mean, what they were doing is they were doing, it was very well organized, but they were doing one thing as a distraction and then they were moving off somewhere else. Now, that could only be organized with modern technology and it being a mobile. Now,
I've got to say, Alex, you for me, you've gone tweet of the week this week. Your thing about them setting a light to the Sony warehouse as a distraction and then at the end of it saying, who's in charge of these people? Eisenhower.
Yes, it was a strange thought of mine. To go to what Sarah said and turning it off, I think what should be turned off as a compromise is turn off all the mobile access to these things and leave the tethered access alone. So therefore, when you're sitting at home and you want to talk to your neighbour and say, look, are they coming our way, they can let you know. But the scrotes running around with their BlackBerry messages and their Twitter on their phone won't be able to contact each other to organise it. I think the two things would help dramatically.
Is that feasible?
They need to turn it back on again quite quickly afterwards, because as Mr. David Walker quite astutely pointed out, getting people together to help clear up afterwards via Twitter was a good idea, and they kind of want to be able to get in contact and communicate that way. So it's a case of switch it off, and then as soon as the writers have gone, switch it back on again.
Yes, I'm saying, but what would happen is it wouldn't be organised enough to erupt into anything that would necessarily need a major clean-up operation. I mean, they're not all going to sit indoors waiting for their Twitter feed to ping on their computer, are they?
Well, this is it. I just wonder how
I'm wondering for it to work in the first place.
I'm wondering how organised it actually was, because from the images I saw, it was small groups of people. There weren't large angry mobs. It was a bunch of people here. It was 20 people here. It was 30 people here.
The largest was 200 to 300.
Exactly, and that's that. You don't really need major networks to get people. 10,000 people, you use Twitter and Facebook and things like that, and that's premeditated. But to get a crowd together, isn't that hard? So just a pub and a half full on Saturday night.
Yeah, but children of that age don't tend to be socialising in large groups unless they are at an event. They don't tend to have pubs to go to, which might be why they're smashing the place up. So. Possibly. I stick with my turn the mobile feeds off and leave the land feeds alone, because that would just slow it down to such an extent that it wouldn't be able to get going in the first place.
I think it's the case of getting the mobile phone companies to buy into that is the only tricky bit. You'd almost need to have sort of, well, this is the problem. It's not we're not a military state. We're not in a state of emergency in that respect, and to get that kind of agility on the mobile phone companies to tell them to do that in certain areas, I reckon is a little bit of a hard. I mean, hindsight is a good thing. But the likelihood of us being able to react quick enough for it to happen before it happens again, I don't know. I don't know if it can be done quick enough.
I've got to say, how intelligent can these people be? Because all they needed to do last night and the night before was make sure that it didn't go out rioting and then go out and have a riot during the day, because all the policemen would have been sleeping.
True. These people aren't clever.
They're not that clever.
No. They went to JJB Sports and, yeah.
Yeah, there's only cricket bats in there.
Yeah, you know what will be interesting to see is whether or not... Actually, I guess the police and law enforcement response to this might inform whether or not we see a social media and SMS and, you know, wirelessly communicated riots in the future, because if they really go in and just, you know, inform everyone by means of arresting that, hey, if you text your friends or you BlackBerry message them or something that, hey, let's go riot and tip over some cars on, let's go break into the store and steal stuff, that's traceable. And we can get to that. And we can match it up with your face on the surveillance cameras at the store and, you know, and all these other things. So
now when you tweet, does it give, it gives you a geolocation as well, doesn't it? Because that was the whole thing over the iPhone.
It can do. Well, this is the whole thing. The whole thing about this, and Eric does hit the nail on the head, is it wasn't premeditated. It was really stupid people doing really stupid things, and a good percent, all right, so quite a few of them will probably get away scot-free, either because they managed to stay lucky and didn't get their... it didn't get identified in some respects, or the courts will just throw it out because there's just too many to deal with. But they were totally unaware of the consequences of what they would, of the way they were doing it, let alone they weren't one step ahead of anybody except for the police, who weren't ready for it.
Well, one thing that's quite interesting since is that particularly Manchester police have been very vocal on Twitter this evening over the people that they say they've tracked down already. There was a big thing the following day of the first real riots that were outside of the Duggan shooting, and the police made a big thing there. There was a good couple of minutes every hour that Sky was showing of the police raiding houses and taking people fairly easily and quickly. And the campaign from I'm just trying to find the tweet now, but the campaign from Manchester is basically, we've got these people and they've named and shamed them, and we're looking for these people, help us. And they just posted pictures of people that they were looking for. Mm-hmm. And they've obviously got good response. You know, the very tool that these people were using to coordinate their activities and create is possibly going to be the tool that brings them down. I mean, it's very savvy of the police to have done that.
Specifically Twitter, or are you also including Flickr and other things like that?
Well, Flickr's... I'm not aware that any police forces have got a Flickr presence. Anyone could gladly correct me on that. But there certainly is a huge Twitter posted, performance.
The Met did post a load of photos to the Twitter, I think.
Right. Yeah, Twitter. Twitter's a huge forum
for Flickr. Sorry, I beg your pardon.
But I don't know of a Flickr account. We'll have a look perhaps while we're talking. But Twitter, I was looking for the Manchester police... tweets that were out, and it was basically, we've caught these three people, and they showed them with their names saying, you know, these are who they are, and we're now looking for these three people, and they sent out another three pictures from another three people that, you know, can you help us? And they're obviously getting good responses through Twitter, because
the Met Police's photo stream on Flickr is brilliant. They've got little descriptions of them.
So what's flickr.com/groups/rioters? No. What's the...
and photos / Metropolitan Police. And you've got a man in a t-shirt with a sling on his left arm.
They're all trying to bagel roll. That's all it was.
Yeah, it was a mass bagel roll epidemic, and they got carried away.
And so what I'm curious about, though, is how much of this do you think is really, truly attributable to these new social media and internet tools, and what is just a modern... Craigslist-style migration from print to electrons of things that would appear in a newspaper or a bulletin board or on the radio or on the TV. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's 97.4% probable that Twitter, Facebook, and all these other things are responsible. Is a terrible word, because they're not responsible, because they've been abused. I mean, their job is to put people in touch with each other. It's up to those people how they use it. But the quality of people that go around doing things like this aren't necessarily that socially aware. They're sort of secluded or excluded in their own little worlds. And they might hang around in gangs of 5 to 10, et cetera, et cetera. But the...
And let's face it, we don't follow them, do we?
No.
Because
I mean,
we'd read three of their tweets and go,
looking for a telling or something, but not generally, no. But exactly. These people this is the first... It's almost like a disposable technology, and I'm trying not to make a class issue, but it's possibly a cost issue that this, and for the right reasons, this is a technology which is able to be used by people that aren't so well off. And in that respect, it's a wonderful thing. But the same group of people that went rioting are the same people that have access to something because of the free cost or the not needing to have a telephone line or not needing any of this sort of thing. Like the BlackBerry Messenger is the next level away from paying for something. You know, you own a phone. And as far as I'm aware, the BlackBerry Messenger is a free add-on to the technology. So, you know, it's something
not free, but very cheap, cheaper than SMS.
Yeah, okay. I bow to your knowledge, but it's something else that's aimed at the mass market, or e.g. the market which is going to go for something like that, which is going to be the younger market. So I'd say in your question, it's definitely not responsible, because if you can't blame the technology for its abuse, but the fact that that technology is there is why this was able to happen,
and it was used as a tool,
as largely as it did.
Well, yeah, I can
say it was used as a blunt instrument.
That I've got a few of these people pegged already. S33, that's Mr. Keep. He was the pottery teacher at my junior school. There's absolutely no doubt about it. S31, the woman there, that's Susanna Constantine, no question. And S34, I reckon that's Frank Bruno.
Ewan, this isn't a pub quiz.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Is it A, B, C, or D? You can ask, find your friend.
We'll play a joker on this round. We're getting all the names.
Oh, man.
It's S40, Joe Brand.
Some of the pictures are really squished on this.
Yeah,
no, that's what they look like. That's what the modern youth look like.
But I mean, there's a girl here, S21, and I'm not.
Sounds like a disease.
Exactly. Well, it might be in another hour. S21. She's an attractive girl wearing a blue top who looks like she's on a night out. She doesn't look like she's been part of any violence or anything like that. I mean, is this just that police are trying to evaluate them so that they can rule them out from their inquiries, kind of thing? Because
she's not hot or not either.
Which, no, exactly. She's got no hood on or anything like that. She's not
quite cute as well.
You might nick something, though.
31. I mean, is this what we're doing here? We're just looking at...
It's hot or not. Yeah, exactly. I like that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know how much I should say.
Now, boys.
Mean, I could tell you a bit about what the police tactics and why they're doing is, because I have...
Well, go on, then. Go on.
...access to some of the knowledge.
Form.
Right, hang on. Let me give you full screen. There you go. Now, come on, then.
Okay, I'm about to get... they're going to knock on the door in a minute. But the first... say, if you like, 500 arrests in London, the vast, vast, vast majority were young girls, because if they were hanging around watching their boyfriends, their gang leaders actually running in and out of shops and stealing stuff. Now, the reason they arrested the girls and all the rest of it first, it was like, they'd have taken 10 people to arrest each one of these thugs and process them and get them down, all the rest of it. But if you take the girls were very, very quickly going to start squealing on which boys were out there, because these are young kids. And they arrested all the girls and they took them all in, because they're sort of saying, well, why am I in trouble? I wasn't involved. It was Johnny. It was, let me go. It was Johnny, Bobby, and whoever else. And so that's what happened on the first day. And that's why people were getting really upset, saying, why aren't they steaming and arresting the rioters? And they're only picking up people that are, you know, secondary, carrying the loot for them, or bystanders. So that was the first thing that happened. And these pictures they were taking, part of the reason they also didn't arrest them as part of a strategy was because of... you get good pictures of people when they're walking away from the crime scene, carrying the loot, not necessarily when they're doing the crime. So they've already got their names, they've already got the tip-offs from all the young girls they've arrested, and now they can get the proof by watching them walk away. So that is the majority of what's been happening over the first couple of days, and that's why they've got names, they know who these people are, and they've got good pictures because if they did it that way. And
so you're saying they've gone,
strategy-wise, it was a very, very clever thing to do.
They've gone for the girls specifically?
Because they're a very, very easy arrest, and the girls will tell them...
squeal like pigs.
Basically, they will. Because these girls are bystanders. They're not... they weren't there trying to act tough and rob places. They were there watching their boys because, you know, sad to say, but that's what young girls do. They watch their boys do silly things. So you arrest the girls and say, well, you're about to get a criminal record for something that you weren't involved with. I think to make it easier, you want to tell us what was going on. And I think it's a very, very good tactic, because they allowed the boys to walk down the street, and that's why they've got so many good pictures. If they'd have gone steaming in at the time, they'd have all split, they'd have all run away, it would have broken.
They wouldn't have carried
up,
anything away.
They
with
wouldn't
them.
Have got any of the people other than maybe one or two of them.
Yeah.
And now they'll be able to pick up the majority.
That's a really good point. I hadn't.
Well, I got it from very close to the horse's mouth.
There's a horse involved.
Well, there was a few. Police horse. You know, the police highest horse. Rate of injuries for the first hour are police dogs.
The really? Highest rate of injury was dogs.
Yeah, the police dogs. And I felt really bad. And I thought, hold on, in the scheme of things, it's not that terrible, is it?
Alex, I'm sorry, mate. I've just been scrolling through here, looking at some of the pictures that are on the police website.
I've been listening to you.
And I've come across this one.
Well, tell me, who am I?
I know the bloke in the middle. I'm sure of it.
Hold on. Where are we? Oh, very good.
Somebody looks vaguely familiar there.
What number have I got? That's what I want to know.
For those of you interested in Photoshop, that's despeckle and then noise. And then a bit of reduction of saturation. There you go.
It does look slightly different from the others.
You do seem a bit bored, don't you?
No, I was listening to your comment.
From
I was
his living room. That's impressive.
No, but what was interesting is I actually flicked on the Flickr page because I hadn't got it on, and I missed that whole joke for a while. I was wondering, who the hell is it? Anyway, so that's what's going on. I know it's not technology-based, but it's, it gives you an insight into the fact that a lot of people are running around saying, why aren't you steaming in? It's because they're going to end up with a lot more of these scroats doing it the way they're doing it than the way that people demanded they do.
Well, I'm quite impressed by that, I have to say. That's
the best argument I've heard.
Well, it's not an argument, it's a fact, and I can't tell you how I know, but it just is.
It just is. There we go. There you go, Alex. I'm sending you your mugshot.
Thank you very much.
You can put it on the wall.
It's remarkable, according to a friend of mine at work.
Come around and get me.
Say again, James. You said
it's remarkable, according to a friend of mine at work. Hello, Anne, if you're watching. How many items of box DVD players are turning up on Gumtree at the moment?
Oh, I need a new DVD. Sorry, no, that's wrong.
You'll get them at a good price, I tell you.
Have we done an eBay sweep on ex-betting shop TV screens?
Absolutely. Yeah, I saw a tweet about something about 40 iPhones appearing on, was it eBay or something like that? I can't remember what it was, but...
Apparently, the Apple have said that they're well aware of every iPhone that's been stolen from every shop, and they're all going to be bricked. So,
I'm sure they are. Yeah,
it's of no value to you.
You kind of would expect that.
While we're on the subject of Apple, then, shall we talk about the Samsung Galaxy Tab and their troubles with the German courts? Because there's been a German court edict that says that you can't sell the Galaxy Tab. They've been issued an initial injunction, which means that it's only temporary. It's only at the start. So, unless Apple can come up with a good argument why that it should be upheld, then the German courts will remove it and the Galaxy Tab will go back into sale. Is the Galaxy Tab close enough to really cast the ire of Apple, or are they just making
honey? It's identical.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, I wasn't expecting much of a debate on this one.
I actually had a play with one before it was released in the US, and I must admit, I was sold and I couldn't wait for it to come out over here, and I was so disappointed how long it waited, I actually gave up waiting and went out and bought something else.
Yeah, it's only because you really wanted an iPad, but you wouldn't admit it, so you wanted the next closest thing.
No, I wasn't going to buy an iPad, and I wouldn't buy an iPad.
No, that's what I mean. You really wanted one, though, but you weren't going to bring yourself to buy anything Apple, so you thought, this is almost identical, I'll have one of those.
Exactly right. That's a backhanded compliment.
Well, I mean, let's go for the front-facing view for a start. From what I can see from the front-facing view, the camera's in a different location.
It hasn't got the little button at the front.
The buttons aren't the same. There's no button on the front. And there's three camera slots at the top, which I guess is one camera and a stereo microphone input. So I don't see this thing. And they're saying the UI is identical as well, which...
Oh, that's rubbish. It looks like a standard Android fit.
It doesn't look anything like. I mean, I mean, when we did the phones the other week, we were talking about the fact that they really had... You know, some of the stuff that they'd done was really too close for comfort, a long, long way too close for comfort. But this thing just isn't anywhere near that kind of stuff.
I mean, one of the things you do legally, though, you do serve a cease and desist order as a temporary injunction.
Yeah.
Just because if you don't do it, then you're the ones that end up getting sued if it ends up going that way. It's a standard practice just to award it. It's the sort of thing that happened with all the injunctions a few months ago here. You just award a temporary injunction, basically, whether it's going to win or not, just basically to cover your own back. And I think, you know, it's all Germany have done.
Right.
And the way, the reason Apple have done it is they've just done it to make sure that the launch just gets squashed, and they've done that absolutely perfectly. It's just become a damp squib because people just can't get hold of it. It's just, whoa, where's it gone? Oh, I thought it would get something else.
I'm starting to wonder what's happening to Apple, because when you think about what people like about Apple and like about Steve Jobs and Wozniak and the whole history of Apple, it was so much about their vision of bringing computers to everybody and changing the world and making a dent in the universe and all those great Steve Jobs quotes, right? And now they've structured their business so that instead of really innovating and making new stuff, they've gone into like this lockdown sales mode where it's all about squeezing every profit margin out of every in-app sale and every book sale, every book, music, video, and movie sale, and making sure people can't compete with them in any way. You know, that you can't have a, I guess if you have a rectangular device that's thin and has just a screen as an interface, that's now owned by Apple and perpetually. I mean, there's no fairness to this. There's nothing that is consumer focused or oriented or helping us achieve the future or living better through technology by doing any of this.
We're going to be talking about them on the Mac show tomorrow, and normally I say, you know, let's not talk about Apple tonight, but I think this is a good point to talk about in general terms in the rest of the computer market. And Apple have become something that is a little bit more Nazi-istic than is comfortable. I listened to the Mac show from last week on the way back home, just to, you know, kind of quality control and just check over. And there was a bit where we were talking about where Don McAllister, we were talking about migration of Mobile Me account to iCloud, and he was saying, no, I think it's going to be fine, it should be all right. I said, yeah, but the point is they haven't told us anything. We don't know anything. You don't know how to prepare. You haven't been told to pack a bag, in inverted commas. What's going to happen to your iDisk? There's no, you know, all of this is completely alien. And the fact is that when I listened back to it, I got this moment where I thought to myself, this sounds like a bunch of people being herded into a ghetto, you know, being ghettoized, being brought together, with all of us sitting there saying, no, they wouldn't do us any harm, no, there's no problem with it, surely, you know, we do lots for them, there's no way that they'd treat us this badly. And it really did sound that it was like, you know, we were in their thrall, we were being ghettoized, controlled, and we were being told what was going to happen next. And if we hadn't got what's happening next, we were just sitting speculating.
What that signifies, Ewan, is that they know that you trust them, because you will.
No, I'm crapping myself
but you
over
still
the current
them.
Apple. I'm not so far up fanboy's backside to think that Apple have got a serious problem coming, and the people that are Apple fanboys, they're going to bend over one day and wake up with a big smile on their faces, because I'm sorry, there is a lot of stuff going on with Apple at the moment that is beyond consumer technology firm.
And this includes rights, by buying of rights
and leveraging of markets.
Yeah. It's crazy. It really is.
And so two other things. You and you're talking about the ghettoization of the users. That's exactly what I felt in relation to Final Cut Pro 10.
Yeah.
And most Final Cut Pro users felt that way. That it was just a massive kick in the face. And removing people's livelihoods in some case, and providing no alternative for software. It was someone, either James or Ewan, just said a second ago about their sort of price fixing in the component. In the market of components, like overseas components, displays, LCD displays, and yep. LED backlights, and solid state memory, and the batteries, and all this stuff that they use that massive stockpile of cash for, the $75 billion, to lock up and get access to technology that no one else has, because they can't buy such massive pre-orders that change the market and lock out the competitors. I mean, nothing that Apple is doing lately seems like a nice, friendly company that you can rally behind and get excited about. It's like we used to root for them because they were the underdogs and they were really innovating and doing great, making great products that the market didn't appreciate. And now it's like they're trying to just rule the market with an iron fist and strangle and block out any competition.
The comparative over here, I think, is, I reckon, everyone's going about Steve Jobs is the leader of leaders, he's the man of many, he's the man of the century already, and we're only 10 years in. I reckon Steve Jobs is old Mr. Grace from Are You Being Served? He's got some sexy nurses, and he's going around going, you've all done very well. But actually, I don't think he's at the helm at all. Because this, if what you're saying there, Eric, about, you know, they were going to change the world with computers for everyone, that ain't what's happening at Apple at the moment. That's a million miles away. He is right. Mr. Grace.
Yeah, and when you read the stuff about like you saw the videos I was talking about, I just toured the Computer History Museum about a month ago, and all the shrines you know devoted to the Apple II and the early Macintosh and all that stuff. It was embroidered with all these, emblazoned with quotes from Steve Jobs about let's make a dent in the universe, let's change the world, you know, on and on and on and on and on. I thought he was going to change education and just, you know, how everyone's going to have a personal computer, and it was this big grand thing. But now it's like, did you guys see the story? Ars Technica had a big story about this, but I guess a lot of places picked it up, about how Apple is being named as one of the defendants, along with the, like, your HarperCollins and your major Macmillan, your major book publishers, like the top five in the world that kind of own everything. For all the publishing outlets. Apple and Steve Jobs supposedly, based on his conversation with Walt Mossberg at the release of the iPad and the iBook store, sounded like he was colluding and conspiring with the major book companies to switch from that reseller model to that agency pricing model that so angered Amazon, because it made it sure that they couldn't sell their Kindle edition ebooks for as low as they wanted, like for $8.99, $9.99. The publishers,
dude, breathe. For God's sake, I'm begging you, breathe.
$15-$20. So it's like Apple's now trying to reach in and strangle markets that they really don't own or have nothing to do with, like all this media stuff.
Alex, have you got something to add there? That was a hell of a breath, mate. What a sentence.
Yeah, I mean, the trouble is, Eric's complete defense, we can't hear a word each other is
right,
saying.
Right, we'll stop. Hang on. Right, so we're back. And the one thing I'm not going to be saying is, say that again, Eric. Because that was, you didn't breathe, dude. I swear you turned a tinge of blue there. Alex, right. You had a point. Go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, about 15 minutes ago now, I think. Now, when this topic came up, And the topic was, has Apple turned it, or Steve Jobs, I think it is, has he turned into something that he wasn't supposed to be in the beginning? And history is one of my favourite topics in the world. And it reminds me of Napoleon, because of, I don't know how much you remember about your history, but Napoleon came into power because of, he was going to be the Republican to end all Republicans. They were going to do away with all the monarchy. There was going to be power to the people. And then the moment he got a touch of power, he made himself emperor. And that's exactly the analogy I would say Apple and Steve Jobs have done. They wanted to give the world. They wanted to not be Microsoft. They wanted to be the little people. Because it's very easy. It's like it's really, really easy to be ethical when you've got nothing to lose. But, you know, once you've actually become a big player and you've actually got something to lose again, you become the same as the people that you think you're coming in the marketplace to give a kicking to. The politicians do it all the time. Power corrupts. And in this case, I think, I wouldn't say money has corrupted him as a human being, but it's possibly corrupted his more social aspect to his original ideal, much as it did to Napoleon. History lesson ends.
So there you go.
I think
he
would probably challenge that. But, and it would be interesting to find out how he would respond to an allegation like that. But
Napoleon? Or Steve Jobs?
Both. Well, I think you should put them both in a room. And
I've got to say, you know, we're looking for sponsorship from a new sponsor potentially, and we're not looking for a lawsuit, but we may not be here next week, because in 10 minutes we've likened Steve Jobs to Hitler and Napoleon.
And Napoleon. Absolutely. It's going well then.
No, it depends. Some people still.
We haven't done Zuckerberg yet, though.
No, don't get me started on him.
I'm too scared.
If you notice, guys, I haven't said a word during this conversation.
Yeah, well, you were right, Sarah. We were wrong all along. I know.
Jeez. I had nicked by the looter, so they can't get anything if they sue me.
Well, so just the ironic thing is that Apple seems to be engaging in activities that seems almost to be pure evil. Like Google says, don't be evil. And you look at those things where it's like,
that are you is sure just, now,
there's,
mate?
There's nothing good in what Apple's doing for anybody but Apple.
L-A-N-I-G-A-N. Just
sorry,
because
what?
They were worried who said it.
I couldn't hear.
He spelt your name. He spelt your name. He said, Apple is pure evil. That's the statement. Could I title the podcast that, do you think, and get away with it in iTunes?
Okay. So here's what I mean, though, guys. Because, right? I mean, when Google says don't be evil, what they mean is that it's not enough just to be concerned about your own profits. You have to do something that contributes something better to the world, or doesn't, like, screw over unfortunate people, like oppressed Chinese dissidents. What Apple is doing now, they're doing things that only helps Apple. They're stealing supplies from companies that would sell products to consumers at the same prices if they could afford their, if they could get their hands on components at the same prices. They're raising the price of books and music and movies. They're charging more for their own services and things like that. It's all this stuff that negatively affects consumers, businesses, their customers, as well as their competitors. It's just all this, like, it's evil across the board, you know, in so evil like quotation marks, as it's
Apple's,
often used.
Apple's logo is... Don't be Google.
Now I've decided Steve Jobs is actually Plankton from SpongeBob.
I'd just like to say that any views expressed by the panelists on the Bagel Tech News Show and the Bagel Tech Big Show are all their own and absolutely sod all to do with me or the network, because I don't want to lose my house.
Yes, that's true. And also, I'm not in the UK, so I'm bound by different First Amendment rules. So there you go.
But no, okay, you're being published in the UK. It doesn't work. Oh, good grief.
As a last thing about this, that's all I'll say, is that replace any target that Apple has gone after for a lawsuit in the last couple of years. Recently, as you know, especially, and replace that defendant with Apple, and imagine that the attacker, the instigator, was not Apple but was Microsoft. Just imagine what you'd be feeling if you were a Mac fan 10 years ago. Just imagine the rallying cries, and you'd feel for Apple. You'd be so mad that the big people are keeping them down. They're making better products. Look at Amazon; they make a better app store. Apple sues
There'd
them.
Be a Simpsons
people
episode
make a,
about
people
it.
Make a tablet that's as good or better as the iPad. They sue them. They prevent it from being sold. I mean, that's evil stuff. For things that are not, you couldn't begin to say were clearly ripped off from Apple, like basic, obvious, fundamental ideas, like a computer that's just a screen.
There's a comment here in the chat room about let's start on Barmer next, but you can't because you feel too sorry for him. In fact, if anything, in all of the paraphrasing and analogies that have gone on this evening, you'd say that Barmer was Mussolini, really, I'd have thought, wouldn't you?
I think it's more like the Nick Clegg syndrome, isn't it? It's like everyone liked him until he got some power.
We'll have to ring Barmer up and say whether he'd prefer to be a metaphor of Nick Clegg or Mussolini. I reckon Mussolini's going to win myself.
Yeah, but I mean, exactly what Eric just said goes back to my Napoleon analogy. It's, you know, they wanted to be one thing and then all of a sudden they got the power. And I'm not saying it was a planned thing. I think the power, or in this case the money and the market share, turns you into the thing that you most hate.
Yeah.
And that basically is what capitalism is about. You know, you can start off with all these brilliant ethical ideas, but when it comes to it, if you're in the business to make money, once you start making money, and making money becomes easier because your market share gets bigger, and all you have to do is sit on the little person. I mean, supermarkets have been doing it in this country for years, and I'm not mentioning any of those because they will sue me. But, you know, they sit on their suppliers, and, you know, that's exactly what you'll do. As soon as it becomes easy for you to get bigger, and the easiest thing to do is stop other people getting bigger themselves, then that's what you'll do. I'm not
Carl,
necessarily
Carl in the chat room asked the question, what are they going to do with all that money?
Buy stuff.
I was just going to make a
buy
point.
Buy America.
Go on, Sarah, your turn.
I was going to say, when you say what were they going to do with all that money, you mean Apple?
Apple, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I kind of see it's a bit like a game of poker. The one who has the most money can always win the game.
Haven't they got more than America?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Well, that was a big story. I mean, a lot of companies do. They said, you know, GE has way more than America, but so you can't really look at it that way. But
they've got no liabilities.
That was only, they only had that for a temporary period of time while America was sorting out the increase of the borrowing.
Yeah, but it was a good headline. Don't get in the way.
America was doing itself over a bit more. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, so also when you're a company who is like one of the biggest, most profitable companies in the world, with like this massive war chest of patents and products and cash on hand, and you're just going after the competition. Screw Samsung. Screw who else did they sue recently? Just all these people. Screw Amazon and just all these different people. Samsung, even their partners. Meanwhile, they're making just profit hand over fist, and it's just like obscene. Just like offensively rich and powerful. Now trying to squelch all competition. It's like they really have become Microsoft.
Dear me, I think there's a left wing coming out of but they're California. Not,
Microsoft isn't Microsoft.
Not anymore.
I don't know if it ever was.
got the money.
Oh, they were. But they're not profitable enough to be Microsoft now. Or not, I'm sorry, not powerful enough to be Microsoft. They can't, they can't be Microsoft like that anymore.
I don't think they ever were that powerful.
But they did have those business practices. If you read stories about Bill Gates and Ballmer and the way that they dealt with things, like what they did to Paul Allen to try to screw him out of his share when he got cancer or whatever, they were very, from the beginning, oriented around monopoly and do anything that you can, you know, ethics be damned, you know, we're going to make it to the top and be on every computer and make the most money we could possibly can. And so they did some very, over the years, I mean, you look back on the 90s and the 2000s and they were doing stuff all the time that was just highly ethically questionable, to put it lightly. And we used to think that Apple was above that. And we, for the most part, still think that Google is. They back down from things if they think they're being quote unquote evil, like the China stuff.
This reminds me of this does prompt a question. Can this kind of phenomenon only happen when you're dealing with real physical stuff? I can't ever see Facebook ending up that profitable, because its time will come where the services it provides are no longer required. But it's only when you can actually buy physical, tangible things. And so if we end up in a situation where we're all virtualized and on the web or in the cloud, and the hardware we use is just kind of like a conduit to it, either Apple's going to own it all, or it's going to be a bit more democratic. So this is something that I think the time could be running out on.
Yeah, but if you
actually
remember,
James, I disagree, because I think that the way you make an unstoppable evil company like that is by, I mean, Zuckerberg has that.
I'm writing this down now.
He has that spark of like a Bill Gates or those people who are just freaking just ruthless, you know. Yep. And people just tell the nastiest stories about. They'll stab you in the back and you know, just making the ceaseless quest for profit, right? I think what happens is there was a story recently about what company, I think it was IBM, turned 100 years old, right? And there was a story you always heard about, well, what tech companies around today will be around 100 years from now? And it was all about, well, as you see with any companies, Coca-Cola, GE, all these ancient companies, it's usually, you look at them, what they are now, like IBM, for example, there's no semblance to what it did 100 years ago. So the way that companies survive like that and maintain strongholds on markets and industries and products is because of they're big enough. They have enough money and cash and resources and people to completely change directions and take a big loss and like reinvent themselves over and over again as needed, because the money just is still there. It's like they're starting a new startup every couple of years. That's how those companies stay around forever. And I think Facebook does have enough money and power and drive and ambition and things already kind of locked up and lock-ins with products and users that they could absolutely be around and be very powerful for a long time.
But there's no iPhone for them. There's no groundbreaking service that would turn them into a completely different corporation and would cause a mass influx of cash that would take them interstellar, as there was with Apple.
Right.
They could. Right now, they're the world's communication platform, and they absolutely have enough billions of dollars that if tomorrow the world changed and everything was about every website making their own hardware device, their own PC, phone, tablet, television set, they have the resources and the cash absolutely to go ahead and just flip the switch, and they can do anything they want to stay in any market and move and encroach and bust their way into any market because of that war chest.
We'll come back to that, because I'm not sure I agree, but Alex, go on.
Well, two things. First of all, I still believe fundamentally Microsoft are far more powerful than Apple, because we still think purely as a top of the first world people, you know, the majority of computers and the majority of access to computer and equipment and language and program and everything in this world is still Microsoft based. It might not even be Windows 7, it might be 95, 98 and XP, but they still are the majority holder of that sort of input to the world. And whereas Apple might be making a load of money, the money they make is on the hardware. And as we've already agreed, the hardware is going to become more and more irrelevant. So it's going to be the software that matters. And this is where, and this is the Armageddon moment, I think, could be possible. And I sincerely hope it isn't. And Apple could use their billions and billions of pounds for, is, if you like, a first class internet owned by Apple. The rest of the world, the proletariat, the scumbags that go writing, they can use the www that's out there right now. But there could be a fast, accurate, owned by Apple. Everything on their iPhone only goes through this network. They can basically own a network. It could be a data-based mobile network, if you like. It could be a satellite-based mobile database network, and it could be owned by Apple. They may be building a war chest to basically make a two-tier system in the world. The slow, old, proletariat www. For everyone, and those with the money, and those that will pay XYZ every month, like we all did originally, will go over to Apple's new All Singing, All Dancing.
So Apple could buy all the IPv6 addresses?
Something like that. They could make their own Apple-based. They've got the money.
You've got to hope the government can step in at that point.
You can own everything, which is the point that you were making earlier. How are they going to move this on to make absolute trillions and trillions and take over the world? Well, there you go, Apple. If that's your idea, then Napoleon's got nothing on you.
Final point then comes from the chat room. Otherwise, we're going to go on all night. They're saying even the looters wanted Apple products. Bear that in mind. And
maybe they're going to make trainers.
The last point of the day, I never thought I'd say this, is Piers Morgan has just tweeted out there isn't a single member of Parliament on Question Time tonight after the worst riots ever for living memory.
Oh, their performance has been woeful.
Utter
cowards.
All
the speeches have been trite, sound bites, horrible.
Utter cowards. Right. Have we got any cool things, James?
Hopefully we'll get through this before we all go a bit Dalek-y again. I had a couple of cool thingies. I'm going to see if I can find them. It always happens. One is an Android app called Diversion. It's free. It's one of these very simple games where you just press one button, which is great for me because, you can do it anywhere. And you basically got to jump over things, and it's taken me ages and ages, and it's quite addictive. It's called Diversion, and it's fun.
And that's it?
Ezone.com. Diversion.
Is it free?
It's free. Excellent. I like free things.
We like free. Alex, I didn't enlist your help until a bit later on this evening. So
No, I'm all right. I was having a lovely chat with our friend in the chat room. I will call him Claw, even though that's not his real name. It's quite a scary name, don't you think?
It is.
Anyway, you said, don't forget your cool thingy. And I was discussing it with him. And I remembered, because I found it in the drawer, I've got my old Scion organizer. And what it was is because Will was always going on about having an organizer.
He collects them.
Well, I put in the battery, I turned it on, and I hope the wife's not listening, but it's full of old girlfriend's telephone numbers.
Hey!
And the thing is, it still works. I couldn't believe it. And I just thought, you know what? Apple never owned this. Right? They may have made something maybe a little bit faster, but they never owned it. And also, I remembered to clear the memory, you had to open the back up, take the chip out, and in here there's a memory pack, 16 meg memory pack. And the way you used to do it, because they were EEPROMs, I used to put them under the sun lamp. You know the things that you used to get the tan from?
Yeah.
And you used to leave it under there for 5 minutes, and it was the only way to wipe the EEPROM. And so that's how dangerous technology used to be. You could get third-degree burns or a suntan just trying to clear your Scion organizer.
Claw in the chat room says,
put the battery in and it's perfect.
Claw in the chat room says, it looks like the thing from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It does. But this one actually works.
And I think if your other half has got the sun lamp out over the weekend, you'll know why.
Yeah, hold on. I paid an extra £100 for a 16K data pack. Wow.
Wow.
That was a Scion 2, wasn't it, Alex?
It was a Scion 2.
Well, you don't have many girlfriends then if you've only got 16K to store them.
Oh, they're only one name and one telephone number. There's 500, I'll have you know.
Sarah, what have you got for us, mate?
Mine is I'm going to make it quick because we have the static issues. It's a application in the Chrome store called a Google Chrome to Phone, which is takes the Google Sync and allows you to send links and stuff like that to your Android phone.
Right.
I'll post a link in the chat room, but I'm going to keep it sweet. It's short and sweet.
Right, yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, where are you?
I've got one.
You've actually got one?
Woo-hoo! Well, kind of. I couldn't hear you. The static's going bad. But
that's
going
to go right up there with where were you when Kennedy was shot?
Where were you when Eric had a cool thingy?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that cool. I thought it was cooler than it was going to be. Have any of you ever heard of Windows 7 God Mode?
No.
Yeah, I hadn't either. But I was clicking around on something yesterday, and I found Windows that there's a God mode in Windows 7. Like, what is that? You know, everyone knows God mode makes you invincible and like going back to like Doom and everything, video games. And apparently, if you just Google Windows 7 God mode, there's a little hack you do. You make a new folder, a new file on the desktop, and you name it God mode parentheses, and then a huge string of digits that you can only know by copying and pasting. And when you do that, it turns it into a little application that when you open it, looks like it gives you a bunch of like under the hood tweaks and features into Windows 7. When I first saw this, I thought, whoa, that's really cool. If that's, you make a little God mode, then it's like tweak UI or something, like where you get like the power tools or power toys where you can go in and modify stuff under the hood. But it turns out that it's just a slightly reorganized presentation of the standard control panel functions that you could see in the basic control panel. So it's a funny little, it's a cute little thing if you want to show it to someone, freak someone out, make a little God mode on their that's desktop. So just Google that and you'll find how to do it.
Excellent.
I shall tell my boy about that because he's got Windows 7.
It's called Steve mode on the iMac.
My pick is the Kingston V100 256 gigabyte solid state drive because I stuck one in my MacBook this week. Oh, it flies. It's 11 seconds to boot up, and it starts Photoshop in two bounces of the icon. The whole of Photoshop, there's none of that bit with the stuff in the middle where it all runs through the people who've helped build it and that kind of thing. It's bang, bang, bang. There you go. And when you open a picture, if the picture's on the hard drive itself, it's instant. You can't even count to a second before it opens. If you've got 300 quid to spare and you want something that's going to really, really improve something that you've got that's got a 2.5-inch SATA drive in it, buy it. It's the best thing since sliced bread. Got it on Amazon. £300. Fitted it, installed Lion on it. Lion is an absolute nut on it in 64-bit. It runs like you wouldn't believe. I'm very, very impressed. So that's the Kingston V100 SSD at 256. Very good. And last word goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. They've helped us out amazingly this week. We've got a bit of a glitch at the moment. People are seeing a white website, but it's probably not their fault. It's probably just a switchover thing. We've only moved it all over 24 hours ago. But they've given us a brand new server because we broke the last one. Far too much downloads off it. We've had a good run, it's got to be said, in iTunes. Everyone that's given us a review, thank you ever so much. Well done, Alex, for peeking round the corner of the locker. If you've left us a review, we really appreciate it. Thank you very much. It makes an enormous difference to our rankings in iTunes, and we're doing very well at the moment. If you haven't left a review, why not? Because call yourself a listener. We need some help. Please get it in there as fast as you can. Really, really grateful. UK2 are very happy with everything that's going on. If you have a UK2 account, go to our homepage, scroll down until you find their logo, click on it, and then go in and sign into your account. If you haven't, then go check them out. Come to our website, bageltechnews.com. Scroll down until you see on the left-hand side the Bagel Tech logo, which is powered by UK2.net. Click on that. There's a tracking link there. They'll know that we've sent you. Anything that you buy, they'll know that we sent you to buy it. And then here's the best bit. When you get to your checkout, put in Bagel Tech as your offer code, and you get 15% off whatever it is that you've purchased. And that's anything. Doesn't matter. Your total price of your basket, 15% disappears. If you then get a charge for something that you weren't expecting thereafter when you've transferred your domains and stuff, send me an email and I'll explain what it is and how to get it back, because Bagel Tech listeners won't be having to pay that charge. I can't say any more than that, unfortunately, but if you get a charge you weren't expecting, don't worry, carry on. You'll get them all back from the route that I tell you. So there you go. UK2.net, they're brilliant, they're super gorgeous and fantastic, and we love them. Thank you very much. Last then, run around. James, where do we get you, mate?
Twitter's the best place. That's where I am most. Does anybody still use Google Chrome? Gets a bit quiet in there.
Yeah, I do.
I'm SYZYGY. Well, if you're there, Sarah, I shall be there.
You said Chrome, James. Did you mean Plus?
Plus. I've been looking at this Chrome to phone thing. I mean Google Plus. I do apologise.
I haven't logged into Plus for weeks. I think it's a dead dog.
I hope not.
It's a dead dog with a white turd next to it.
SYZYGY on Twitter.
Thanks, mate. Alex, where can we get a hold of you?
Oh, I don't know. Where do you want to get? The police station after they come and get me for all my criticism.
For the thing I posted.
Yeah, exactly. Alex G. Fox at Twitter. That'd do. I know that's not what you say, but that's as good as I can do tonight.
At Alex G. Fox.
That'd do.
Sarah, you, where are you about?
You can get hold of me on our website, which is sarahjaneuk.com, or on Twitter at sarahjaneuk.
And fixing the little glitches that we've got, but nothing serious.
Yes, yes, been a lot of fun doing the new site.
It has, it looks great now. We get a big banner at the top and there's a logo for every post and there's a picture and everything. Yep. It looks super
And we got
gorgeous.
Some other exciting things we're planning as well.
Yes, there'll be the show notes will be going out some way soon, so there we go.
Yeah.
And last, Eric Lanigan. Where can we get
can
you
I just... Can I
you've
just got
a new
like
muffler.
20 more minutes.
You've got a new muffler, dude. When did you stop?
Oh yeah, I did. I've been changing stuff around, and that's what the microphone stand started to tip over and fall over. So if you saw the back of my head for a minute there, I was running around the desk to try to adjust it. Yeah, I thought this would block my face a little bit less, so I could be a little bit closer up to the microphone and sound better, and not have it be like that weird look where it's like, what is that screen in front
is
of your
that,
mouth?
Is that a Rode WS2, mate?
No, why? Is that what you have?
That's the best piece of foam in the world, without a doubt, yeah.
Love or the best foam? The Rode is just, it's a foam screen?
Yeah, WS2, Rode WS2, absolutely my cool thing. There's one there on the front of Sarah's microphone, is there, Sarah? Hold it up.
This one?
Yeah. You can touch your microphone, mate. It's on a shop mount.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you can't see it, that's the problem. You have to hold it up.
Oh, no, sorry, yes.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Yeah, no, she's got a cheap piece of crap. That's mine's a Rode WS2.
And why do you recommend it, Ewan? Is it just doesn't colour the sound much?
Well, you know when you buy the mufflers from like Radio Shack and that kind of thing, and you look at them, they look like someone's just hacked them out with a bit of a carving knife or something. This one looks like it's formed. And when you actually look at the structure of the foam, it looks like it's organised. That's all I can say. I mean, there's probably a really good coefficient or something like that to it, but it looks nice and organised. That's why.
It looks
well,
like
I've had surprisingly good
Jackson
results with
five,
mine, but
maybe.
It is especially designed for this microphone. I've got the RE27 from Electrovoice, and so I just got the foam screen. It was like $10, but it's the foam screen that was designed for that. And I swear, I think it's a little bit better because you see a lot of people with these are super popular now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I had, of course, the little metal foam thing or frame, the screen. But the problem is you have to talk directly into it, because if you're a little bit off to the side, right, you bypass the foam and you pop. So, for a lot of reasons, I think this might be better, but I'd appreciate feedback if anyone disagrees.
No, it's significantly better. I don't get putt-putt at all.
You get enough feedback on this one.
What microphone do you use, by the way, Ewan?
I've got an SE 2200 tube mic.
From?
SE Electronics.
Oh, I never even heard of them. But you always sound very sharp and clear.
Thank you. Lush and creamy, darling.
Yes, indeed. So anyway, to answer your question, ericlanigan.com or twitter.com/ericlanigan.
Jolly good.
Or search for Eric Lanigan wherever finer social networks are sold. Google+, all that stuff. ericlanigan.
We'll be back again next week. I've got to rush quickly because I remember I put two beers in the freezer 2.5 hours ago. And I'll be doing the Mythbusters freeze test, which I did this weekend, by the way, and it works. So there you go. 3 hours in my fridge. Have a good weekend. We'll be back next week as normal. We've got the Max Show tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We've got the photo show at 3 o'clock, and we've got the Daily Show in the morning, so we'll see you then. Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening.